Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast. And this is the midweek show of the twice weekly podcast for needlework artists.
Woohoo! Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. We have Wednesday night is becoming, yeah, these next two Wednesday nights, you got to join us. You just got to join us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. So Sunday, our guest was Leslie Rinchen Wongo, Wongmo. And her book is Threads of Awakening, and we talked a great deal about the book and making Tibetan tankas. And she is going to be on the Stitch Hour tonight. So,
yeah. That is going to be so interesting because you get to see how she does the winding on the horsehair, which I am just dying of curiosity. How does she do this?
Well, I tested with her to make sure all the technology would work. Mm-hmm. It's very cool. It's very cool. Yeah. And of course she's done it a million times. So she's like lightning, but, yeah, it's very cool how it gets done. So, and she has a really good close-up camera. So we're going to be able to see very clearly how it works and how all the parts come together. And she's got a couple of tankas that are portions that we'll be able to see how they go together. And, and of course, she's got a ton of pictures that we're going to get to look at and talk about the various tankas and some of the meaning and how they're put together. And, yeah, this is special stuff. So,
Come with questions. It'll be and I'm sure this is going to be fascinating. Yeah. Just interesting. Learn a different technique. Learn something new.
Yep.
Beautiful piece of artwork.
Yep, and she's a wonderful lady and more than willing to share information. So it's she's just ask questions. She'll she's here to let you know how it's done. It's very, very cool stuff. So that's tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern on the Fiber Talk YouTube channel. Jeez. Join us for that. And then Leslie also kind enough to give us two signed copies of her new book. So that'll
how
be
generous.
That'll be the drawing tonight. So, and you know, fair warning now, drawings, all of our drawings are just for people who participate in the live show. So if you want a shot at the book, join us. And we'll explain then how to do it. Sunday is Anne Frank of Crossing Centuries.
Yes.
That was fun.
But some people might know her as 1803 Ohio Farm Basket. I think.
Right.
She was a lot of fun. Very interesting.
Yeah. Because we talked as much about weaving baskets as we did about reproducing samplers. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Learned a lot about baskets. Wow.
Yeah. It was very interesting.
Yep. So Anne Frank on Sunday, and then next Wednesday. Now, there's still a few details to work out, but it looks like we're good to go for the return of Gallery 76 tours. The Gallery 76 tours, the Embroiderers Guild galleries in Sydney, Australia. And that stopped a while ago because April and her husband moved to England, from Australia to England. Why not,
You're right.
And so the new person, Catherine Gibson, we laid the groundwork for her to be in touch with me, but, I'm sure I've learned she's working part-time at the galleries and had a million things to do just to get her feet under her after April left. So anyway, she contacted me, and I think it's last month and this month, July and August, I'm not sure which. Anyway, is there a Festival of Goldwork exhibition? And so Catherine wrote to me, and next Wednesday, we will be touring the Festival of Goldwork exhibition at Gallery 76. And she has a goldwork expert, Mary Brown, who she's getting lined up to join us to answer questions and explain how it all works, how all the goldwork is put together. So, really excited about that.
Join us for that.
Yeah.
I've been looking forward to that. I'm so glad she contacted you and we able to get back in touch, because that's been so nice. You know, we can't go to Australia and go see gallery shows.
Right.
This is fantastic. You know, yep. To be able to see what they have and gold work.
And all those tours we did with April, I mean, we learned so much. We saw so many neat things. So, yep. So that is next Wednesday. Then I think the Wednesday after that, we might just do a Stitch and Chat thing, because take a break. Uh-huh. But if you want to join us and on a Wednesday show and share your work, send some pictures and talk about your work, let me know. We would be happy to have you. We've had, three really good shows with people who've done a lot of stitching and wanted to show and talk about it. So let us know. A lot of fun to do.
Yeah, we always like to see and meet new stitchers. It's always fun. Makes the world a little smaller, which is great.
And all you have to do is send pictures and then be on live and talk about what you stitched. It's not like you have to prepare anything. We do all the work on this end. You just got to show up and talk about your work. It's simple.
Yep.
And if you're afraid of being on camera, you're only on for a few minutes, so it isn't even that big a deal.
Right. We just watch Gary.
Yeah, great. Okay, we're working on the Mystery in Saint-Tropez. I'm hoping to get my stuff soon from Needle and Haystack. The Mystery in Saint-Tropez project is sponsored by Needle and Haystack. And the best place to start, if you want to participate, is go to gayannrogers.com to buy the chart. And then from there, follow a link to Needle and Haystack to get your thread packs and ground cloth. And Kathy has several of them. She has all the pieces. Some she does not. So she's working on it. You know, it's the same old supply thing that we've been dealing with for going on 3 years now. Everybody's doing what they can. So,
right. So just be patient.
And then you stitched an ornament out of stash, right?
Yes. I had the threads so organized, they're little baggies and not put away, from a Kathy Reese piece called Inchies, and it was the confetti colorway. And I was like, oh, these colors all must go together because I stitched them together. So I said, I'm just going to make the little ornament. I just wanted to try it. And it was a lot of fun, but I thought there was a cry neck in those bags, and there wasn't. I might've put it away if there was one in there. Or there might never have been one. I don't remember. So the ornament calls for a cry neck, but I didn't have one. And since I hurt my knee, I was trying not to go down the stairs. So I said, well, I have to use what's in these bags. I mean, that's you have to, that's what you're going to use. And so I just used, the overdyed, which was watercolors, confetti, the colorway. And then I had a pearl number 5, and I think I don't remember if she really called for that or what was looking, it was a number 8, but I only had a 5, so I used it, and it works. And then I used some Vineyard Silks that was overdyed, and I think that's the only 3 threads I used in this piece.
And it worked out.
And it worked out. And it worked out beautifully, I thought. I mean, the colors, I like them, and it was nice to have that little challenge that, you know, I couldn't go and look for different stash and change something else. I was like, no, just use what you have. Just use that. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. And so now I've got to go downstairs and look for something for another project. So when I go down, I'm going to get another piece of canvas and do it again. Make the same ornament again.
Okay.
With the same, maybe even the same thread packet, and see if I can make it totally different.
Oh, okay.
And see if I can just, by changing a couple of the colors.
Yeah.
A couple of the threads.
Hmm.
So, you know.
While you're down there, just bring everything up and be done with it. No.
I think my husband might kill me if I did that. He's like, what are you? And then bringing it up, that would be very bad on my knee.
No, yeah,
we won't do that. Yeah, no, we won't try that one. We won't try that one. You know, a piece of canvas, that's a different story. But
yeah. Yep.
But it was fun. I think people don't realize how easy it is to change these things for Gayanne's projects. You know, I didn't have what she called for, so I just used what I had. And so if people are afraid of that, you know, you could, if I had wanted to, I could have used a floss, even a DMC floss, and some of it, I could have just laid the threads instead of using like their pearls. They don't need to be laid as much. So, you know, you can use what you have. There is that option too. Or substitute things in.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the purpose of the whole thing anyway. And, you know, that's Gayanne's mantra. If something goes wrong, don't tear it out. You know, how can you make it work? And
right.
Yeah. But that is an interesting challenge. I got to work with the threads that are on the, not in the basement stash, and yep. Make it happen.
And the table in front of me, and I knew they would work because they had worked for another project.
Right.
But you know, it did cause a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yep. Yeah. Very cool. So, yeah, we'll be, as soon as I get my stuff, from, Kathy, we'll be underway, but you can start anytime. It's not like you have to wait for me, for crying out loud.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's fun. That's cool. Yeah, yours came out really nice. There'll be a picture somewhere in the posts for this podcast. But yeah, it came out really nice.
Mm-hmm. But you know, I got to tell you, what did Gayanne say? It took like her like a half a day to do both the front and the back of the small ornament.
Yeah, no. No.
just so you guys know, no.
No.
No. Maybe no. For you, Gayanne, but not for me.
Yeah, no, I didn't buy that for a second. Yeah, yeah. If I'm Gayanne Rogers, sure. Yeah, but no. Yeah. Didn't buy that for a second. No. Nope. Yeah. But I will say I started on the Lady Mary geometric from Gayanne. Mm-hmm. And the other night we had a little group there and discovered that the first big X that establishes everything, I'd miscounted, so I had to cut it out and put it back in. And now I'm underway with the center section, because with a lot of Gayanne stuff, you start in the middle. And, you know, you have the picture. We, you know, we've said this a million times. The picture just does justice. And the picture, her thing is like, it's okay. Looks nice. I like the colors. Going to go with it. Then when you start stitching it, it's pepper pot silk, and oh man, this thing just comes to life right out of the gate. So yeah. I'm pumped up. Yeah. Yep.
Oh, good. And it's kind of fun, because generally there's like a little bit maybe that's a little challenging, you know, but then some of it's just probably monotonous, kind of like, okay, I got to stitch this section.
Right.
And it's a nice balance of stitching. So it's not all the same.
Yep.
What I love about her design.
But. Great stuff. Yep. Mm-hmm. So, so I'm fired up, moving right along on this thing now. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good. Yep. Oh, good.
Now, last week we talked about Krista West's new fabrics.
Yes.
And I asked her to send me a couple pictures. Well, just our luck, she was on vacation, and on vacation where she had pretty much zero internet access.
Yeah, I knew where she was. I'm totally jealous. But go ahead.
I saw the pictures. Like, she says, I was on vacation. Yeah, I saw. Yeah.
One of those places I want to visit. So.
Sitting here in St. Louis with 100-degree humid heat. Yeah, I know, Krista. Yeah. Anyway, so I hope she's back now. I hope to be able to include in this post pictures of the fabrics we talked about, because they're really, really pretty neat. And what I really should do is try and get her on a show so she can show them, because they're really neat fabrics, and we need to have some.
Yes, we need to get yep. them into our stash.
So off by a week on that, otherwise we'd have been able to show pictures. So we'll get that because I think she's found something very, very cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yep. Other than that, we got nothing. That's it.
That's it.
Bored out of our minds. Yep. Well, speaking of the vacation thing, yeah. Now EGA has a post on the website of the EGAUSA.org. 7 tips for embroidering on vacation. And this comes up all the time in Facebook groups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people traveling and what can I take and what can't I take? And it gets answered, you know, every time. But you appreciate that, you know, people new to the hobby or who have never traveled and want or never traveled with a stitching and want to do something. So the EGA people put together 7 tips. And I thought the first one was obvious but important. Keep it small and simple and something you can do in a hoop or a small canvas.
Right. I when I read that, I thought, okay, so my favorite things to take if we are traveling are one of those, there's Stitch and Zip. I used to be able to get them at the big box stores. I don't know if they still carry them, but everything's in there. It's got all the groups. It's got floss, it's got a needle, doesn't have scissors, and they're generally eyeglass cases or little card cases. And I love taking those because, again, it's small, everything's there, and actually, and they're not that expensive. So let's say you lose the whole stinking thing on your travels, which, you know, has happened. You're not out that much money. You know, it's not like you know, you're taking your silks and your,
right.
You know, or very expensive painted canvas. This is, you know, fairly inexpensive piece. And yet, it, you know, for me, it's hours of enjoyment. It's pretty mindless, too. So that way you can enjoy your vacation time, you know, with family and friends. So that it's, you know, you're not distracted with your stitching. You know, just something to keep your hand. For me, it's something to keep my hands busy.
Yeah.
Use it for.
Yeah, don't take your 12x14 sassafras sampler reproduction sampler with $200 worth of silks and your frame and your charts. No. Don't do that.
No.
Nope. Second one was make a list of what you need for the project. That was a brilliant item.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have you seen posting? They went on vacation, forgot to bring needles.
Yeah, I just thought the other day, someone said, I am here. Is anyone anywhere close to me or can point me in the direction of a store that I can get needles so I can do my needle work?
Yep, that is, and that is the one that, you know, mm-hmm. Now I did it once, only I left the charts behind.
Yeah.
Yeah, but make a list, and EGA put together a little template thing for a list, but you can make your own list, you know, title of the project and then what you need, charts, threads, ground cloth, hoop, whatever.
Right.
But, yeah, the needles are the one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you travel a lot and stitch while driving, I would put a little needle case of needles in the car or in your purse.
Right.
Just put them in a little pocket in the side of the purse or in the glove compartment and just forget about them. And then that one day when you get in the car and you get everything lined up, your spouse is driving, you got 3 hours of nothing but peace to stitch and you forget your needles, you got some right there in the glove box. Yep.
Right. Or you drop them and you cannot reach it. you know, you can see it. You can see it, but there's no way in the moving car you are getting that needle. And, you know, dear husband is not stopping, so you can retrieve and, you know, dig under the seat to get your needle. So
we're on a schedule.
Yes. What do you mean you dropped your needle? Oh, too bad.
Yep. So, yeah, do something so you have needles no matter what. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
And absolutely. And multiple sizes. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, different projects, you don't ever know what you want to stitch on.
Right. Yep. So that that's one. And then now this is what I do. Have a project bag with everything that you need for that project. Mm-hmm. And when I was traveling a lot, and I hope that doesn't start up again next year. I don't think it is this year. But yeah, I have a project bag, and in it are the charts, the needles, everything. So I can just throw that bag in my suitcase and know that when I open it up in the hotel room, everything I need will be in there. And then, because, you know, like for me, for business trips, I got to remember to bring this and this and my laptop and blah, blah, blah. And, oh, yeah, and I'll just throw this bag right in, and then I know I have everything. And,
right. Yeah, absolutely. And I know, even if you're not traveling on vacation, like when my kids were younger and you had piano lessons, swim lessons, you know, all those things, and you had, you know, maybe a good hour of stitching time, you know, to have that project that was just, okay, this project, I can grab it and go. Everything's in there. It was just nice. It's just nice to have that, you know, available to you.
Yep. And there's a million people making very nice project bags these days, so you can get a nice bag to put everything in. Did you ever have, and I never did it with the, waiting for the kids, but did you ever just have a project in the car that just stayed in the car?
No, because the kids getting in and out of the car. I didn't want them to step on it. So yeah, no, I always just had a bag that I would carry with me and take. So it was easy. You know, especially now, and taking like that, like the handy wipes or having the wipes in the bag too. So you can clean your hands before you started stitching.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
Cause if you're not near water, that's, you know, a problem. Right. You know, but you have those alcohol wipes that clean them off and then they dry, you know, right away. Yeah, works great. Or sanitizing wipes, whatever they are.
Yeah. Yeah, and those are so easy to get anymore, and there's so many varieties, yep.
Right. Yep. Right.
So, yeah, so that I think, you know, a list of 7 things, but to me it could easily just be a list of 1. And that is, you know, make up a project bag, and if you're the female type and you have a purse, put it by the purse. And then when you go out the door, you just grab both. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And or in a backpack or whatever, you know, you carry. And the other thing is, now is a good time. I always used to carry the school scissors, the cheapy, blunt ended school scissors, especially if we were flying. We didn't fly a lot. But you didn't care if you lost those. When they got dull, you threw them away. But they were very, very expensive. Or if you lost them, you know, kids borrowed them out of my bag. Didn't have to worry about them.
Right.
And so now's the time to get those, you know, they're all on sale. You know, I've got to replace all the ones I have because they're all getting really dull. Like, right. Please don't cut anything. But you know, they're nice because you don't care if you lose them, especially if you're flying, you know.
Right.
You don't want to take your Dobos on the airplane.
No, you do not. No, you do not. Mm-mm.
No.
Mm-mm. No. I wouldn't even advise taking your Dobos if you're driving.
Yeah.
Just, you know, all you need is for them to slip out of the bag or something. And, you know, they're, you know, the $50 pair of scissors are left somewhere. And,
yeah,
don't do it. Yeah, the school scissors, I get the little $3, $4 cheap scissors at needlework stores. They usually have them in a small bucket at the cash register, you know, plastic colored handles. Anything that if the TSA people are in a bad mood and decide they want your scissors, take them. Have a good time.
You know? Right, right, right. You just don't care.
Yep.
Right.
Some people take dental floss and use the little cutter on that to cut threads.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing.
in case you forget your scissors.
Yeah.
But you remember your
yeah.
Remember your dental. Yeah. There's always that one.
Yep. I thought this was good. Do your prep work ahead of time.
Right.
Yeah. Like, edge your fabric before you leave. Don't.
Well, or okay. Like, I used to do a lot of the Mill Hill bead kit. So there's nothing worse than, you know, oh, I'm just going to start this project. And you're like, oh, rat. I've got to find the middle of it.
Ah.
I need a straight edge and a pencil so I could, you know, because if they were one of the bigger ones, you made an X across the back on the paper, the back of the paper, and that's how you found the center of it. There's nothing worse than not and having that ready and realizing, oh, I can't start this.
Yeah.
Until I get a straight edge and a pencil and yada yada. So,
yep.
And sorting the flosses too. So if you're in some place that has low light and you've got something that's kitted, you know, like the Mill Hill bead kits, they were all kitted, they had all the threads, but some of the colors were very similar. So if you didn't have good lighting, it was almost impossible to see what colors were which. So just have those already sorted out was an advantage.
Hey, your cat's here. All right.
Yes. Cat, go find something else to do.
But yeah, that's important because hotel lighting, terrible. Mm-hmm. Or fluorescent lighting in a lot of places throws colors off. And so have those all labeled and sorted on bobbins or thread drops or whatever you use so that they stay organized in the plastic bags, whatever. And I got to believe, same for beads.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, I never really beaded while out. It was very rare that I would, I shouldn't say that. If I was in the car and we were on a super long trip, I would bring a small bead box, but it would be something that didn't have a whole lot of color. So I don't normally sort my beads like that.
Oh, okay.
That's way too much work. I would just do it as I went. But, you know, again, it was with not a ton of different bead colors. It would be, you know, something with just a few so I could work on it.
Yeah.
I
would think beads would be something you'd want to be at home to do in general, but
I have beaded on the road.
No.
but you know, I was in a larger car and it was smooth road, and I think I had a little, they were called sticky bobs.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd put a few beads on there and pull them off and work from that.
So. Fairly safe that way, yep.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. The one they have here, check with the TSA, particularly about scissors. Well, you don't really need to check with the TSA. Just take small, cheap scissors. That's really the only thing I've ever heard of that they cared about. They don't care about the needles. No. But just take small, cheap scissors, and you can take all the cloth you want. I mean, you know, you haul a suitcase full of clothes. What's the difference?
Right.
So to me, I've never felt like there was a need to check with TSA. You know, just this, the scissors are the one. You know, that's the one they're going to view as a weapon. Laying tools. I would not take my best laying tool, my Takabari. I would take a wooden laying tool or a toothpick or something like that.
A big eyed needle. So that way you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't care.
It's so interesting to me that, you know, we concern ourselves about those things, but then they'll let knitters on with those great big spears they use, you know, I don't quite get that. Whatever.
Right.
And then the other one they had, invest in portable tools, and they showed foldable scissors. And those, I'd never seen foldable scissors like that, but those look to me like that's a bit of an investment. I wouldn't take those on the road in a heartbeat.
I think you can get them fairly inexpensively, though. Oh. I don't think they are very, I think they're under $10.
Oh, okay.
So, because I used to have a pair.
What are they? Small? They must be small then. Yeah, you lost them.
They're very
them.
Small. I'm sure I lost them, so I don't have them anymore. But they were either that or the kids thought they were cool and were opening and closing them. That, who knows? You know, I have engineers. They might have taken them apart.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, they just they pull apart and open, and they're very small. I would say the size of a nail clipper.
Oh my!
About maybe a little bigger, like a big nail clipper. They weren't that big.
Oh, so the picture was deceiving then, because I thought those looked like regular size scissors when they got unfolded, and no way I'd take those.
No, I think they were smaller than that. At least mine were, if I remember correctly. It's been years since I had them. Because then I went. Then I think that's when I went to my cheapy school scissors. I thought, oh, I can buy cheap school scissors for under $1.
Yeah.
I'll just use these.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. You know, if they don't care. But.
Yep. Blunt nose scissors, safe for kindergartners. They'll leave you alone. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll leave you alone.
Yeah. Right.
And remember your hoop or your.
Like a frame?
Frame, yes. Stretcher bars, whatever. I always, when I travel. This is probably overkill, but when I travel with a set of stretcher bars, you know, like 8-inch square, 10-inch square, no bigger than that, I always try to put, when I put them in the bag, I will put the instructions in the bag and then put the canvas side against the instructions and then put all the other stuff so that it's pressing on the other side into the well of the stretcher bars.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because I feel that that way the canvas doesn't get stretched as much when it's being packed away or moved around a lot.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if it's worth it or not, but that's the way I always do it. I always try to have the actual canvas side against the something firm and flat so it'll not get punctured as easily or pushed on or anything like that.
Right. You know, I don't want your canvas stretched out of whack.
Yep.
Which would be sad. That's why I think I stopped taking so many, like doing needlepoint canvas when I traveled, because I was always afraid, because normally we were camping and it'd be like, okay, do I really want to take this camping, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't normally take a needlepoint piece. I took something that was more either washable, or I didn't care if it got destroyed, you know, because that could happen, especially while you're camping, you know.
Right.
You never know.
Yeah, any number of things can happen, even in the car if you're drinking something. Yeah, any number of dumb things. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And then I'm a big fan of if you have a piece of linen or, you know, Aida cloth or something like that. Having a piece of PVC pipe, half an inch or so, and wrapping, rolling it up on that. And so I roll it up on a little piece of pipe and wrap a Velcro strip around it, and that keeps it from getting creased and folded, and then I just drop that into the bag.
Mm-hmm. See, now I see all these people that have these really fancy ones that they... You know, you put the PVC pipe in and it's got batting around it, and then they have cloth on it, and then they can put their piece in there, and then they roll it up with the, and it's pretty too. You haven't made one of those?
I just use regular old white PVC pipe that I wash and sand down the ends. I'm good with that.
You're good with that. Yeah. So you're not into the pretty.
No.
No.
Okay. No. No. You go into Home Depot and they have a rack there of 2 foot long pieces of pipe that they've cut, and you just get one and take it home. And if you have to cut it shorter, you can do that with a hacksaw, and it's pretty simple. Yeah. Less kind of bulk,
boring.
Less stuff. Yeah. Yeah. But traveling. Even if you're on vacation, you know, with the family, and you're out doing things all day long, in the evening, to be able to sit down and stitch, nice relaxing thing.
Right. Yeah. a nice way to calm down after a busy day. And yeah. It just is. Even if you're, even if you're traveling with family and on the go, it is. It is nice.
Yeah. Kids want to go swimming? Go ahead. I got something to do right here. Have a good time.
Right.
Just come back in one piece. That's all we ask.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Please.
Yep. So some good tips at the EGA website there for traveling.
Yeah.
Take your needlework along. Have a project for travel. Yep. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yep. So there we have that. And then I was thinking the other day, if I were to rate myself as a stitcher, where would I put myself on the old, on whatever scale?
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not beginner, certainly not professional by any stretch. Somewhere in the middle, scale of 1 to 10, 10 is Jenny, Aiden, Christy, whatever.
Right.
I don't know. 6, maybe a 6.
Yeah. And I guess I never think of it in those terms, 1 to 10, because I think some things I'm definitely down at the lower end. When I think of my white work skills, I mean, those are gold work things that I've tried maybe once or twice. And, I'm like, I'm not very proficient at those. But if I go to my counted canvas, I think I'm better at that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rate myself higher, professional. No, still more of a 6 or 7 of those, but but don't you think it depends on the technique? I mean,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. You can't just have a blanket thing. No, I would agree with you. Cause yeah, there's like surface embroidery, a 2,
Right.
Yeah.
I can thread a needle, and I can make some satin stitches. Okay. So I'm not a beginner.
Right. Yeah. I've actually transferred designs. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Right.
No, but I think so. I think it's, and then even, even if you take something like cross stitch, an easy technique,
mm-hmm.
Within that, how good are you? is your tension always good?
No.
No. Are you better at higher end fabrics, higher count fabrics, or lower count?
Right.
Does it matter what thread you use? A lot of factors.
Right. And then on the cross stitch too, I tend to make mistakes. I obviously can't count. So I'm working on the port-a-fed and I'm like, I noticed I was off by a single thread. Now it's on 53, 63 count, whatever that is. And so being off a thread isn't surprising, but I'm like, little girl who was stitching this probably didn't care. I'm just going to keep going.
Right.
And so, or I'll go over 3 instead of 2 and I'll notice it later. I'm like, I am not ripping that out. It's staying in. The little girl would have left it. I'm leaving it too.
Yep.
So yeah, is it perfect? No.
Nope. No, that's just it. And, but then, I got to believe that if you took, say, Karen Kluba,
mm-hmm.
and sat down and said, hey, are there mistakes in this last piece you just stitched? I'm pretty sure she'd say yes. And she would have that same reaction. Yeah, and?
So, right.
She's
going to see it.
Yeah.
She's going to see it, And I need to, I try to remind myself that, no one is going to see, even if someone comes to my house and sees my things, it's not comparing to someone else who's done the same piece. They just see my piece.
Right.
So, they're just not going to, it just doesn't matter.
Yep.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And my most recent lesson with that is the Hannah Longstreth, which mm-hmm. we just got framed. And there are 2 errors in there. And now it's been, several months since I finished it. And that's right. There's a couple errors, and now I can't even remember where they're at. literally can't remember where they're at or what they are, a miscount somewhere. And I thought, there's the lesson right there. 6-8 months out, you can't even remember the errors. Why'd you fret over it so much at the beginning? You know, just move on. Yeah.
Right.
Move on.
And I think sometimes you, like, I know you said you redid the center of your game on Roger's piece.
Yeah.
And on this little ornament, I was having a problem with the outside border counting it. I thought I was right, and it was totally off, and I had to take it out, because if I didn't get that border right, then the inside wouldn't fit right, and I wouldn't be able to make it into a two-sided ornament.
Yeah.
Those sort of things you need to take out. You just did, like, okay, yeah, that's, you know, you got to do all due diligence and take them out.
Right.
But for the most part, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, you can find your way around it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'll fully admit I'm a perfectionist. I want it all perfect, and I will tear out things most people would let go. But I've been working on that. But now, like the Gay Ann Rogers piece, I mean, there's a center X upon which everything is based. And I was 3 threads short. The legs were 3 threads short on each end. And so everything was going to be off, so I had no choice but to rip it out. But that was really nothing. It was a couple lengths of thread and a couple snips, right, and it was out, and we start over again. So
Well,
the sad thing is, the first shape in a project I couldn't get right. That's the sad thing.
needed practice counting.
Right. A simple X. Just a simple an X with 3 strands of thread. I couldn't get that right. Yeah, that's the sad part of the story right there.
Did you do the basting?
I followed her instructions. No, it's dead center the way it's supposed to be. It's right where it's supposed to be. It's just short, or it was.
It was,
Now everything's fine. And,
good.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, you can zoom along now.
We're off and running.
Yay.
We're off and running.
Yay.
Yep.
That's a good thing.
And pepper pot silk, I don't know what it is about pepper pot silk. I'll stitch with that stuff all day long. Man, that's nice.
Yeah. It's used in the Purple Mountain Majesty heart. It was the sky. I think it was the sky, because there's a lot of it. And it was very nice to stitch with.
Yeah.
Very nice. The other one I'm liking is I used the Vineyard Silk and the, and I think the spread works because it was overdyed. That was really pretty to work with, the Vineyard Silk.
Yeah.
Got a nice sheen. It's kind of soft. It pills a little bit, but it's so pretty. It's got a nice, pretty, for doing these long stitches, which is what Gay Ann called for, and then over stitching them. They just look really nice, I thought. Another fun thread. See, I was sad, though, because I was working on this piece, and I thought, I wish I had a needlework store and I could go and match some of these colors with threads. Just go to the store and pick and match the threads. And I think that's the people who are able to get to a store and pull the threads they really like out. That's the one sad thing about living in a needlework desert.
Yep.
Just have to call Kathy and say, "Okay, Kathy, can you get me something that looks kind of like this?"
Yep. Yeah. Use the experienced shop owner as your eyes. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Because I have to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the problem. But you're not alone there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not the only one.
Yeah, I am. The first time I used pepper pot silk was the Lady Edith chart from Gay Ann. That's the first time I ever ran into it. And, it's nice. It's got a beautiful sheen to it. It's nice and soft. Stitches well. Holds up. Yeah. Anytime, I'll use that. Mm-hmm.
It's a nice thread. It is a very nice thread.
Well, I think we have it right there.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
I think that's going to be it. I do.
Right.
Do join us tonight. Do not miss it. Leslie Rinchen Wangmo. It is Needlework like you're not going to see anywhere else. Anywhere else. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to learn something for sure.
Yep. When they're using horsehair to make cord to couch down, you're in a different level of needlework. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
And no, they're not going and cutting the tails off of living horses.
No.
Doesn't happen that way. But I did ask her about that when we were, and we'll talk about that a little bit, where you get horsehair, because it has to come from the tail because that's the longer hair. And so she explains all about that. You know, no horses were hurt in this movie.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But it's interesting how they do it. So another tease for tonight. Another tease.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you definitely want to listen because we're giving away some books.
Yep. Two of them.
You want to listen live.
Yep. And that's a book you want to read. Mm.
Yeah. Yep.
It is.
You'll learn something.
All right, 8 o'clock Eastern time on the YouTube channel. Join us. Don't miss it. It is cool stuff. And Leslie is just a wonderful lady and fun to talk to. The test of the technology was a 15-minute test that lasted an hour. So, yeah. I learned things. And,
So make sure you have a drink.
Yes.
You're ready.
Yes. A beverage is essential.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for listening.
All right, bye.